You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
So I want to talk to you tonight. I want to finish up on the soldier, the athlete, the farmer. I moved this to Wednesday night because Sunday morning we're going to start a series or I don't know if they're going to be more like a series, but standalone messages called Hope Lives. And so I wanted to finish this up because I don't want like to leave anything undone. And I really like ministering on this subject that the Lord gave to me using the scripture to talk about how we are not supposed to just, this is not a personality test. You don't get to pick one of these. I'm more like an athlete. I'm more like a soldier. I'm more like a farmer. And the truth of the matter is, really around here, we probably concentrated more on this one, the farmer, because the farmer has to do with your soil. They called him the hardworking farmer. Because first of all, and then remember when he said, I have finished, he said, I have fought a good fight. Remember the Apostle Paul and Timothy said, I have fought a good fight. He said, I kept the faith. I finished my course. So he's talking about the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer when he said, I have kept the faith. So the farmer is about the soil. Remember the parable of the sower? We looked at that, how there's four kinds of soil. No matter what kind of soil you have, it's up to you. It's your determination of your soil. In other words, God doesn't give out soil. You're the one that decides what is your soil type. And so no matter, I heard one minister say one time, well, I'm only interested in the good soil. I only want to minister to people with good soil. Well, then you're telling me you don't want to minister to 3/4 of the population. Because to get good soil, you've got to work at good soil. You don't get born again with good soil. You get born again, and then you have to work on your soul. Because the Bible says, out of your heart flow the issues of your life, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. And then when Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower, he talked about the four kinds of soil, and he finally got to the good soil. Everybody say, that's me.
That's me.
Surely everybody on a Wednesday night got good soil. Amen. At least we're working on it, right? Are you working on it? So we want to produce some 30, some 60, but we're looking for the 100-fold, right? People ask me this all the time. Do you believe in 100-fold? I believe in 1,000-fold. Hallelujah. I grew up on a farm. I've seen one kernel of corn turn into 3 ears of corn with hundreds of kernels on it. I believe in more than 100-fold. Now, you know, so people ask that when it comes to finances. But I don't like to talk just about seed as finances because really money is not a seed. It's the word you wrap around it that makes it a seed. So because you can, in a church, put money in. Now, the reason we spend all the time, I have Mary do it now and others do it on Wednesday night and Jim does it on Sunday morning, or we always have somebody do it, is that I determined when we started 25 years ago, I wasn't going to have you just plunk money in a bucket. I was going to give you seed to wrap around it. Because without the seed of the Word of God to wrap around it, you're just putting money in a bucket and you might as well just wave goodbye to it. But you see, if you do it, you wrap faith around your giving, you wrap faith around your tithing, then it will do what the Bible says, and it will come back to you because the Word of God never returns void. Amen. And but see, that seed is not the only thing. Really, the seed is the Word of God. So all seed you put in you and your soil will produce something, and then you and I need to be good harvesters. Are you good harvesters? And so last Wednesday, you remember, we talked more about the harvesting. How many know it's always the season to harvest, but we're in a due season. Come on, we're in it as a church, we're in a due season. The Lord said to you, and he said to me, I'm sorry, this is bugging me, I gotta get rid of it. The Lord said to you, and he said to me, that this is the year of double jubilee, and I didn't even know what that means. All I know what jubilee means, and I know what double means. And I do believe he's talking about spiritual things and natural things, but jubilee means everything the devil has ever stolen from you, what God has given back. But it's always jubilee now because Jesus said, I've come to preach to you the acceptable year of the Lord in Luke 4:19. So it's always jubilee. But when the Lord is emphasizing something, what does that mean? It's a due season for it. Like you look at the fact when the Bible talks about Jesus was born in his season. And there was a season around him. And there is a season of his return. It's like, when I grew up on the farm, especially in Illinois, there's a, you know, and there is here too, but up there, there's really four distinct seasons. And as a farmer, you need to know what season you're in. And they're really, for a farmer, why they're hardworking is there's not a rest season. You think winter is a rest, then you don't know what farming is. Because while there's snow on the ground, you're in the barn fixing your equipment. You're getting ready. You're planning for springtime. Because when springtime comes and you got to know the season, you got to hit it with a plow. Because over the winter months, the soil has gotten hard. And you can't just go out there and throw some seed on there again because it won't work. You got to plow it up. Everybody say plow it up. That's where you got to keep your Hosea 10:12 says plow up your fallow ground. And then you got to know you can't plant too soon. People do it here all the time because it's Alabama. They think they're going to, they think, well, it's March, late March or April. I'm going to get my maters. That's short for tomatoes. I'm going to get my tomatoes in the ground because I want some. I want some by May and I'm going to get some in the ground. Well, what happens? A lot of times around here, if you're not watching, a frost will come and it'll kill everything. Why? Because you planted too soon. So you got to know what season it is. Now, let me tell you this. When it comes to your redemptive things, when the word of God, the redemptive things, what Jesus has bought and paid for you, it's all season, all the time. I mean, how many know healing is for you right now? Prosperity is for you right now. Peace is for you right now. There's not a season for you to receive that. You should always be planting. You should always be watering. You should always be receiving all the time, all the redemptive things. But in your personal life, there are seasons. There are seasons for things. There's seasons for your careers. There's seasons about relationships. There's all kinds of seasons out there. And so we looked at those. And so, and then as a whole, there are some things that God is doing that is seasonal. And so don't mistake, though, healing is not seasonal. Healing is for you anytime you need it. You don't have to wait on it. I should have got a better amen. We're not waiting on healing. Healing's already been done. But you got to always be plowing. You got to be sowing. You always got to be watering. You always got to be talking. You always got to be believing, and you can receive. And so, and I told you this last time. I said I wanted to talk to you, and this is where we're going to finish up about the farmer, is there's some other aspects of farming that God has put in his word that consider the harvest of men and women's souls overall. So I want us at Cornerstone not to just be people who are just concerned with getting our own needs met. In criticism, sometimes you have to look at it. Does anyone like to be criticized, anybody? I don't think so. Nobody loves it. But if you're smart, when criticism comes, you'll look at it and see if there's any validity in it. Okay? Now, I don't really particularly like it when people criticize, but, I'm not inviting any right now, okay? I'm good. I'm good. But sometimes when you preach faith, a criticism comes is the people get very me-focused. My needs, my prosperity, my body, my family, me, me, me. And when I look at that, I think that's true, true, true. So we have to be very careful as a people that I do believe as a farmer, you have to learn to produce for you before you produce for a multitude. You do have to learn, because if someone says to me, well, I can have faith for everybody else, but I can never have faith for myself, I think you're kidding yourself. If you can't have faith for you, you really can't have faith for everybody else. Because you first have to learn how to work. If you need a car, start with believing for a pair of socks or something. Don't jump to Mercedes when you've never believed in a pair of pants. Just my advice. All right. It is the truth anyway. Well, I just believe. Well, what do you just believe? Well, because the Lord will help you, But now that we are learning, and we will always continue, and you will always have things you need to receive. So your faith is continual. That's why the Bible says the just or the righteous shall live by faith. This is how we live. So you should go to work tomorrow by faith. You should drive by faith. Oh, that's crazy. I just want to drive. Well, you should drive by faith. In other words, you should ask the Lord to get in the middle of what you're doing, because in case some crazy folk is out there, you want to be driving by faith. You should work by faith. Well, yes, God knows engineering better than you do. He does. Or whatever you do, He knows. You might think this is crazy. I remember this one lady that used to go to church. She's since gone to be with the Lord, but she used to cook by the Holy Ghost. And it was good. She would get stuck sometime and she wouldn't have an ingredient, and she'd just start praying in other tongues, and the Lord would tell her what to do, and it was better than before. Hallelujah. Jesus was cooking fish on the side. He knows how to cook. He does. I'm just saying, there's nothing in your life that you should exclude Him from. Nothing. He can help you at work. He helped me figure out some accounting problems when I was an accountant. Kept me out of trouble. He'll make you look like a genius. And even let you take the credit, but I don't. I always say, thank God. Glory to God. Even when people tell me that was a good message. Now, it's easy for me, because you all should know, well, that came from the Lord. But I always give it that way. But even on your job, they'll think I'm silly. They'll think I'm crazy. So when you keep getting promoted and they don't, they won't think it anymore. I love what Phillips, when he came and talked about his sister. That's just powerful stuff. Amen. Next time I'm going to have her in to preach instead of him. Just kidding, Philip. I'm just kidding. You did a great job. I forgot he's coming back in November already. You did good. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. So there's some other aspects, though, of farming that it has to do with harvest. You and I have to make sure we know how to receive for us, but let's take it bigger. One of the things in our church that may be a little different than other places is Pastor Rhonda and I both cut our teeth in the ministry on foreign field. A lot of what I learned in ministry came from the nation of Brazil. I was planning to go to Brazil and live, and people really didn't know that, but that really was my heart's desire. I was really kind of working towards it. We were going to have a Bible school, but the Lord told me I couldn't go, that somebody else was going to do it. And we support those somebodies today. I didn't know them. Bud's since gone on to be with the Lord, but a couple from Cullman, Alabama. He was a truck driver, and they ended up in Brazil, and they have shook, changed, rearranged that whole nation and nations beyond. And so I was going to do Brazil, though, but Pastor Rhonda, you all know, was in India. And so she was going to stay in India. And you know, she told those people out in California, she tells everybody, she's like, if I wouldn't have known better, I'd know he'd have been a distraction from hell. And so she had to tell everybody. She told everybody. Anyway, and so, but my point is, we both had a world vision when we were in a storefront in Madison, Alabama. And so from the very beginning, we've been very missions-minded. And so really for us as a church, we went more to the world first before we went to our community, because that's just who we were. So from the very beginning, we drew people who were interested in the nations. If you look at my staff, almost everybody on my staff, from the top to the bottom, almost everybody has a nation call mixed in with their call here. People that come up around me that are become sons and daughters in the ministry, they end up, because it's our heart. It's what we draw. And so therefore, the nations aren't afraid to come here and sit among us, because that's our call. We don't try to do it. We don't try to make it up. It's just who we are. And so we really did that first. And so criticism would come, is like, we don't care about those around us. It's not that we didn't care about those around us. It was just our natural bend. And we still do a lot of missions. I was Annie is here. Annie is our director of our missions. She's our missions director, and she does an amazing job. She can organize with one hand tied behind her back and get everybody over there. She just went, yeah, she can. Hallelujah. She helps so many people of our church fulfill the call of God on their life by getting them into the mission field. And maybe she'll be helping each and every one of you in the few days. Next year, as we take, we didn't take as many this year, but we used to take usually three to four trips a year. And so we still do that, and that's big. Why do we do that? Well, we train ministers, we teach people, but a big part of that also is we go to win the lost. We go to bring the backslidden home. We go to win the lost. You know, a good farmer, if he owned 400 acres, he just wouldn't farm the 40 near his house. The Bible says that out in the book of Acts, it says first Judea. Doesn't say then, it says and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. You're supposed to be doing the and. Everybody say and. Doesn't say then. It doesn't say once you farm the first 40 acres around your house, then you go to the next 100 acres, then you go to the next 100 acres. We're supposed to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. And so we're doing it all. And so that's why the flags are on the wall, because we do that. But it is something, though, that then over the last 10, 15 years that we really began to do more reaching out here. And then we're in a season in our church of the backslidden are coming home. Come on, it's been amazing. Hallelujah. I get up on Sunday wanting to know how many people are going to come back to the Lord today. I'm telling you, it gets me excited. How many people are going to come back to the Lord today? And the first thing I didn't ask Robert how he did. I didn't care how he did. I wanted to know how many people came back to the Lord. That's all. I mean, I'm sure he did great. He's wonderful. But I want to know how many came back to the Lord. That's my question I had. Not how much came in the offering, not how much this, not how much. I want to know how many people came back to the Lord. That's what I want to know. How many people are going to come back to the Lord this week? Hallelujah. How many? I don't know. Maybe you know somebody. Like the woman at the well, you can go to them and just say, hey, come on. Come meet a man. Come see a man. Come on. And not talking about me, talking about him. Amen. You get him in the room and let's see what God does. Right, we got to hurry up, y'all. What y'all keep making me go all these places for? James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Verse number 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth. So the husbandman is what? A farmer. So God's calling himself the farmer, and he's waiting for what? Precious fruit of the earth, which is what? Souls. And he has what kind of patience for it? Why? Why does he have long patience for it? I'm going to jump right ahead and get to the meat, because he sowed a seed. Because he sowed a seed. And he sowed the best he had. I said he sowed a seed, and he sowed the best that he had. Jesus is the first begotten from among the dead. He's just the first begotten. You and I were begotten from among the dead when we believe. But he is a seed. And the scripture very clearly says this, that I really just went. I don't even know where I'm at. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about how that until Jesus basically was that seed cast in the ground, then nothing could grow. Unless you put a seed in the ground, you don't get a harvest. That's why God sent his very best, and he sent Jesus. And you and I, think about this, you are a result of God's faith. God knew if he sowed a seed, because see, from the beginning in Genesis chapter 8, he said this, and this is the law we all live by. What is it? It's called in Genesis 8:22. He said, basically here now forever, for after, there's going to be seed time and harvest. And so in order for God to get anything that he wants, you have to sow a seed. So this is something God set up. And if he wanted you and me, and he wants all the billions of souls, he had to sow a seed. And so he sowed Jesus because he's a farmer. That's why he wants us to duplicate that. He wants us to be a soldier. He wants us to be an athlete, but he also wants us to be a farmer. And he doesn't want us just to be a farmer for ourselves. He wants to be a farmer on a global scale, meaning that we're not just learning how to receive all the promises of God that are yes and amen. We need to do that, but we also need to have faith as a farmer to receive what the fruit of the earth, which is the souls of men and women, boys and girls. John chapter 4, verses 34. Do y'all know anybody that needs to be born again? I hope so. You know anybody who needs to come back to the Lord? John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said, "My meat, or what keeps me going, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are 4 months and then comes harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes." If he was in this room, and he is right now, he'd tell you to lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for life eternal, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. Hallelujah. I want you to understand this. The first thing he said to do, Jesus said, is my meat is to finish the will of him that sent me. And so you and I need to be able to, got to be our same thing. My goal, what keeps me going, is to finish the work of him that sent me. And every one of us here has a work to do with souls. You don't have to be an evangelist, but you are a minister of reconciliation, and you are a farmer, and you've got seed on the inside of you. How do I know that? Because you're a fruit tree, you fruity person, you. You've been planted by the rivers of life, and you're a fruit tree. And that fruit that grows up, yes, you partake of, your family partakes of, but there is fruit in there that is for everybody else. And the cool thing about a fruit is there's always a seed in it. Why? Because it's supposed to keep on going. It's supposed to keep on going. Yes, you can partake of it, but there's a seed in there for you to give anybody else. Listen, I know this for a fact. I've watched it. I see it on my own church. On Tuesdays, every Tuesday, Opal Cruz gets up and she preaches on faith and healing. Why? Because she encountered the healer. When she was dying and should have been dead, she got a hold of some books by Kenneth E. Hagin and the Word of the Living God. And what happened? She took that seed of the Word of God and it produced healing in her life of 3 incurable diseases. And now what does she do? She's the fruit tree, and now she's giving it to everybody who will listen. And not just here. When she's anywhere, she'll give it to anybody who'll listen. When God's done something in your life, come on, there's a boldness that comes on you. The righteous are bold as lions. And if God's done something for you, all you got to do is share it. Just be you. You don't have to be me. You don't have to be anybody. You don't have to be this wild, crazy evangelist with a megaphone. Just be you at work. Be good. Be kind. If you're going to wear a t-shirt that says you go to church here, be good. Be kind. He that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. Herein that's a true saying. One sows, another reaps. One sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap where you didn't bestow any labor. I sent you to reap where you didn't bestow any labor. I sent you to reap where you didn't bestow any labor. I love that. Yeah. Other men labored and you entered into their labors. We don't know what went on here hundreds of years ago. We don't know. I have a sense that I do know what happened here years and years and years ago before you and I were even a thought. Before you and I were on the earth, I think there were some cryings that went up. There were some tears that went up. There were some pleadings with God that happened here. And I believe that their calls unto God, that people's calls unto God for a change, for something to happen here, maybe even a revival to happen here. I believe that their labor in prayer, their intercessions in prayer have went up before God. And now you and I, we don't not think anything of ourselves because we don't know who labored. We don't know how long they labored. We don't know what they labored for, but we get to walk into it. We get to walk into it. And we're going to reap where they sowed. And there's a lot of people, I didn't even talk to you about finances. There's a lot of people who sowed a lot of seed who gave up on it, but it's still out there for somebody to grab a hold of. Amen. And then really what's the most important is this. There are souls of men and women, boys and girls, things that people have prayed and revivals and things that people have prayed that you and I are just going to walk into their labors. We're just going to walk, and we got to realize that. Everything that happens, you know, sometimes when things get going well for somebody or something, they think, oh, they're so special, they're so this, they're so that. But they don't think about, you know, the person behind the scene, the scenes, the hearts, the lungs, the kidneys that are really doing all the work. Amen. We're all doing this together. My point is this, you've got a part to play. You've got a part to play. You didn't get to choose what part of the body you were, but you have a work to do. And it doesn't matter if you sow. It doesn't matter if you reap. You know, I love this. I'm so not in my notes. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Remember when it talks about Apollos? 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. It talks about Apollos. What does it say about him? He watered. You know, Paul said, I sowed Apollos, but who? So it doesn't matter if you're a sower, you're a waterer, you're a reaper. But you got to do something, and you can actually, and I believe we're supposed to be all three. So there's some times when you sow into somebody's life. And then you come along, somebody else comes along and they water it. In other words, you come in somebody's life and you tell them how good God is. And you tell them and you tell them and you invite them to church and they don't come. And you tell them and you tell them. And then somebody else comes along and they water it. And they tell them, oh, how good God is and he's real and he's alive and healing's for today. And they're like, oh, that's interesting. And then they believe it. And then another person who didn't hardly do anything say, hey, you want to go to church with me? And the next time you see him at Cornerstone Word of Life Church, after you spent months and months and months, and you got, ah. But it doesn't matter who sowed. It doesn't matter who watered. It doesn't even matter who said something, because it's God that gives the increase. It's God that gives the increase. It's God that brings the increase. And so you and I just need to do our part. I remember I was really young. I wasn't in the ministry. I was just spirit-filled. And my pastor, his name was Arnie. And man, he was such a good Baptist-costal preacher. He was really good. And he got Baptist man, got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I remember one time, He was a line upon line teacher. Really had great revelation at that time and really helped me a whole lot right before I went to Bible school. And he was frustrated. I'm like, Pastor Arnie, what's the matter? He said, I've been preaching that very same thing. I had this guy in, and in one service, everybody seems to have it now. I mean, he was frustrated, and he was a young pastor. I mean, he was older than me, but I don't know why he let that out to me, maybe for this time, for when I would be a pastor, and I didn't know it. But you know what? Sometimes somebody will come and say it just a little different. You know, I'll preach on something for 9 weeks, and somebody will come in. Philip will come in and say one thing, and you'll all be, I got it. And you know what I've learned to do? Good. Hallelujah. Glory, because it's not about us. Because someone sows, someone waters, but it's always God that gives the increase. There is people out there that someone has sown into. Then they moved here. They need somebody to come water what's been sown. What somebody across, you know, we have so many people from so many different places. Somebody's praying on the East Coast for them. Somebody's praying on the West Coast. Somebody's praying for another nation. And when you get an unction to go talk to them, when you get an unction to go invite them, that's God saying, I need you to water them. I need you to reap that harvest. I need you to bring them in. All I need you to do is be you. I need you to be, so what we got to do? How we got to do this? How are we going to be the farmer? Because God's a husbandman, he's the farmer, and he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. In other words, he's a good farmer. He sowed the best seed that he had. He sowed the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he wants to sow other seeds. That's you. You're a seed. You're a seed. You're a seed. And when you give your life into the harvest field, then it's going to produce. Every one of us is different, though. We don't, you know, when people teach on evangelism or outreach, you know, they're trying to make everybody in their likeness and image. No, I just want everybody to go be them. Just be you, the way God created you. Some of you, there's a special kind of person, or you can reach a special kind of person that I could never reach. But you got to go do it. You got to go do it. You got to go do it. Hallelujah. All right. Well, what can I tell you? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. God is interested in his harvest, and he will have it. He's waiting for it. Say, well, is there a certain amount that when they get born again, then the trumpet's going to sound? I don't know. Maybe you know, but I don't know. All I know, he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, and he is a good farmer, and he's going to have his harvest. And I believe it's a good harvest. Matthew 13, 37 and 38. He answered and said to them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Well, that's a lot. And so we could get into that, but all I want you to see is he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. He's sown the seed, which is him. He's the word made flesh and dwelt among us. He was sowed as a seed. The field is the world, the good seed. That's those of us who receive the word of God. And then there's tares, there's weeds. Those are the children of the evil one, the wicked one. And how many know at the end they're all going to be separated out? Are you going to get judged with Jesus? That's what team I'm on. Is that your team? And you're going to be on that team, amen? And you're going to stay on that team. Hallelujah. John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 24. This is that scripture I was looking for. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. Everybody say, much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it. He that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. I just want you to see that Jesus, when he died on the cross, was that seed that went into the ground. He's that word that went into the ground. He's that seed that first had to die, and then he was raised from life again, and he's the first begotten from among the dead. And now you and I are part of the many begotten that are from the dead. Amen? He's the first fruits. Revelations 1 and 5 says that he's the first begotten from among the dead. So you and I have tools. We're going to do these really quick. We have tools as farmers, and so I want you to think of, and I know most of you do, especially this crowd, I want you to think about, though, as I'm farming, as I keeping the faith, as the just person I am, I'm living by faith. I'm not just receiving healing for me. I'm not just receiving prosperity for me. I'm learning how to do this so that I can be a blessing to others. You know our theme around here, we're blessed to be a blessing. That's why we're blessed. We're not blessed to heap it on ourselves, we're blessed to be a blessing. And so we can say it this way, I'm knowledgeable, I'm gaining knowledge so that I can share it with others. I'm learning how to walk in health so I can show others. Come on, wouldn't you be a blessing if you learn how to walk in health and you learn how to receive healing by faith if you can help somebody right around you? Because you can. Amen. I don't believe the last days is all about preachers. I believe it's about the body of Christ. I believe it's about the body of Christ and the body of Christ taking their place and then doing what they're called to do. That's the mighty army that God's looking for that will affect the world. Amen. Thank God for all the modern technology. Thank God for it. But I still believe in person to person. I still believe that you as a friend can go bring somebody in. You as a family member can bring somebody in. Somebody's looking for you to give them the answer. And all you got to do is sometimes you got to plant and sometimes you got to water. Psalms 126, verses 5 and 6. This is talking about the seed of the word of God going forth. And Psalms 126, 5 and 6. Are y'all ready to get the harvest? You're a farmer. You're a soldier. You're an athlete, and you're a farmer. Psalms 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth and weeping, bearing precious seed. What's precious seed? That's the word of God. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in what? Sheaves with him. In other words, I planted something into somebody's life, and then I harvested it. In other words, something was planted into somebody, but then there came a harvest of it. And that's really what God is not just a planter. He's not just a sower. He's not just a waterer. He's a harvester. And he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He's waiting for that harvest to come in. And you and I are part of bringing that harvest in. How do we do it? Well, we do it by believing the word. We do it by speaking the word. We do it. The sower sows the word by sowing it into somebody's life. You know, be a smart sower. Sow it into somebody's life. Try to get their heart ready to receive it and then sow it into them. Maybe the best that they're ready for is, hey, come go with me to church. Maybe, the best they are is, hey, come with me to a connect group. Come with me and have fun. Whatever it is, you know, you use the Spirit of God. Let him guide you and lead you as you're ministering to people. So, Pastor Mark, I'm really not a minister. Well, you're a soldier. You're an athlete. You're a farmer. You're all this. And so a good farmer wouldn't say, well, I'm good at everything else, but I just don't know how to harvest. I can't harvest. But you're a farmer. Why would you sow? Why would you water? Why would you keep the bugs away? I started to say buzzards, but buzzards just come for dead things. Got my farming analogies messed up a little bit. Because you said, Jesus said this, if you'll follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Amen. He didn't say I'll teach you how to fish. He said I'll make you something. Just like he made you righteous. Come on, everybody say, I am a fisher of men. Well, so what is it the same way? He said, I am a farmer. What does a farmer know how to do? They know how to sow. They know how to water. They know how to keep the weeds out, and they know how to harvest. They really know how to harvest. Quit talking yourself out of ministering to people. Come on. Well, you know, I'm just, that's not my personality. There's a lot of things that aren't my personality. But the Lord will help you, so I'm not asking you to be somebody you're not. He's not asking you, please don't go buy a bullhorn. There's different ways for different people, but ask the Lord to help you be the best you so that you can sow seed into people's lives. Lord, help me. Lord, show me how to do it. Lord, you know, there's a way. All right? And then the other thing we need to do is we need to be prayers. We need to be praying. Psalms 2:8. Love this scripture. Psalms 2:8. Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. Just as much as healing and prosperity and peace and all, talking about being farmers, just as much as all those things are your inheritance, the lost is your inheritance. Amen. There ought not be, as for me and my house, my family, we're going to serve. I believe in family salvation. I believe once one of y'all gets saved, all y'all is going to get saved. Amen. You hold fast. You believe God. Amen. Well, they're not acting like it. Well, you one time you wasn't acting like it either. Amen. I hope you're all acting like it now. Hallelujah. Ask of me. And I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance, the uttermost parts of the world for your possession. Amen. The Bible talks about this in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, and then Luke 19, 2. It says, ask ye of the Lord. What are we supposed to be? It said, let's look at Matthew 9, 37 and 38. Put that up for me. It says, then he said to the disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous. Is that still true today? Yes. How many people are on planet Earth today? Where are we at? Too many? 6 point something? Almost 7 billion now. Praise the Lord. That's a lot of folks. The harvest is still what? The laborers are few. Hasn't changed. Verse 38. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest. Well, doesn't he know? But there's something about it seems as though God can do nothing until somebody asks. And one of the things I'm going to tell this story, I had to quit telling it after my dad moved here. He's in heaven. He might be listening tonight. And so I got back from Bible school, And so I learned the scripture while I was away. And my dad at that time was backslidden. He grew up, I didn't really know it, he grew up in a little Pentecostal church. And he knew the word, and he's just fooling us. And so he knew the word real good, actually. And and he knew the Holy Ghost, too. And but he had walked away from God. And so I had determined, it really wasn't something that I was going to be face-to-face about, but I did this. I began to pray for him. And so I began to pray that laborers would go. I used to pray on a regular basis. I don't know how much I ever told him this. I think he heard it probably in Bible Institute when he went through Bible Institute, because I don't have any new examples. I just probably repeat. And so I couldn't come up with anything else, so he got to hear it then. Anyway, so I prayed every day, Lord, send laborers across my dad's path. And this is the deal. I believe when you ask for a labor, the Lord knows who you're praying for, and he'll send the best. So I believe he'll send the best. And so I believe he'll send one that they'll listen to. And so I remember, this is when I was an itinerant minister. I just moved home. And so I was going over Jasonville, Indiana or something. This church was out in the cornfield. Their motto was, a church alive is worth the drive. And it was way out in the middle of nowhere. And so I got there, and then there were a couple hundred people there. And I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. So I got up and I started preaching. And after we had a Holy Ghost meeting, these two ladies came up and they said, Garver, you any relation to Delane? And I'm like, yeah, that's my dad. And they start laughing. I said, what? And they said, well, where they worked at Sony, they did back in the day the CD disc. So there were machines. And each one of these ladies was on the either side of my dad. And they talked about God all day long, every day, back and forth to one another. My dad heard stuff. And then most of you know, when he moved down here to Alabama, my dad, not a big deal of it, but started regularly attending church, never missed. One of the most faithful ushers we've ever had. He was just very big, big, big help. Big help. And he really helped me a whole lot, more than some of you knew, because he also took care of a lot of my personal stuff. I really miss him because my door needs fixed. And so don't anybody offer. I'll get it taken care of. And so, but my point was, all that prayer was the beginning of that. So don't think that your prayers aren't working, because the prayers of a righteous man make tremendous power available, dynamic in their working. God set two ladies on the either side of him. After I started praying, they weren't always there. When I began to pray, he set them there. And they said, well, we got something to talk about tomorrow at work. I said, I'll bet you do. Did you know your son was a good preacher? You know, whatever. I don't know. What happened? The Holy Ghost fell. I mean, I'm telling you, we had a Holy Ghost meeting. People were laying everywhere. So he went and heard about it. Your prayers work too. Don't ever give up on anybody. Amen. Your prayers work. But you got to pray. Pray. Ask the Lord. Now, I'm telling you how this will work. Everybody believe in seed time and harvest? Yes. Y'all believe in sowing seeds? Amen. You're a seed. So if you need some laborers to go to your family and your friends, then you better be one. And you may not be. How many of you know sometimes your family won't listen to you? Right? You know, maybe Thanksgiving is not the most appropriate time to win everybody to Jesus. I don't know. But if you'll be a laborer, just like those ladies were a laborer, just like other people I've known have been a laborer, if you'll be a laborer, you're sowing a seed. And then when you go to pray, asking the Lord of the harvest to send laborers across your loved ones, you have a confidence that you wouldn't have if you weren't doing it as well. Because this works. And then when you're a laborer to someone and they come back to church, or they get born again, or they get filled with the Holy Ghost, there's somebody somewhere rejoicing greatly who have spent hours, days, years, maybe even believing God. What a great thing. What a great thing when you're in heaven, somebody walk up to you and say, thanks. For what? I don't know you. Yeah, but I prayed. and you talked to my cousin, and you got him to come to church, and they got born again. Thanks. You know someone else who might say thanks? The Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest. We've had experiences. Pastor Rhonda was a time, she was just, I think we just got back from India, and we went over there in a time when it was a little rough. It was when Pakistan and India were doing a lot of saber rattling. You know what I mean by that? They had their nukes pointed at one another, and they're about to hit a button. But we went anyway. Didn't tell my mom about it, but we went anyway. And so she probably knew, but I remember, and we as a church, you all helped this. And I think Pastor Rhonda told you, but this is a long time ago. We held a minister's conference, and we brought back, I think at that time, probably a couple hundred of their ministers. And she was just playing the piano, worshiping. And the Spirit of God said to her, thank you for going and sparing my harvest, something like that. What? Saving my harvest. Sparing, saving, you know. But, oh, you want to be word for word. All right, saving. But, no, it's just saving the heart. How many? So a personal thank you. But that's for a big group. But everybody's important to him. One person's important to him. Would it be the coolest thing to get a thank you from the Lord? That's how big this could get. Because we pray to the Lord of the harvest, and then you're seed time and harvest, and you do that. And then the last thing I want to tell you is this, Zechariah 10:1. Because remember in James 5, what did it say? That he's waiting for the former. Isn't it interesting he said he's waiting for the former and the latter rain? Remember he said he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth? Then he says at the very end, he says in James 5:7, I'm waiting for the former and the latter rain. So there's something about the rain, which represents what? A move of the Holy Ghost. How many of you know one of the things in 25 years we've always contended here for is a move of the Holy Ghost? Religion's not going to help anybody. I believe in the move of the Holy Ghost. What is the move of the Holy Ghost? Well, the move of the Holy Ghost is just where the Spirit of God gets to do what he gets to do because Jesus is the head of the church. And so it's talking about an outpouring. Well, that looks like it can be many different things. But you all know what rain looks like, right? So spiritual rain, what is that? Is that actual spiritual rain? People have seen that before, but no. What is it? Every time the Holy Ghost moves, there's a result. And the outpouring that we're really looking for in the last days is the former and the latter rain coming together, a rain of the Holy Ghost that produces salvation of men and women, boys and girls. Because Zechariah 10:1 says what? In the time of the latter rain, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Well, you've been hearing from Pastor Rhonda that these are the last days. So in the last days, spiritually speaking, it's supposed to be raining. Everybody say it's raining.
It's raining.
Well, I don't see anything. It's raining. I don't feel anything. I'm telling you it's raining. I'm telling you it's raining. It's raining. So what are we supposed to be doing? Asking of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. And the Lord will make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone, grass in the field. Why? What is that rain for? What's the latter day rain for? Yes, do I love to run around the room? Absolutely. Do I love to laugh? Absolutely. Do I love to roll? Whatever, I'll do it. Hallelujah. I'll stand on my head and clap my feet if I have to. I'll do whatever it takes. But that's not what we're looking for. That's enjoying the rain. And we're meant to enjoy the rain. But what we're looking for is the new birth for men and women, boys and girls. In the time of the latter rain, ask ye of the Lord rain. And what's he going to do? He's going to pour out bright clouds. What's he going to do? He's going to let down the Holy Ghost rain. What's that going to produce? It's going to cause people to get born again. And as good farmers, we need to learn to work with the rain. So this is my deal, y'all. This is my deal, y'all. I know that a lot of people say in the last, church, you need to calm everything down. Holy Ghost is for small groups, but holy groups. We're gonna have holy groups. That's a new one. Let's start them. Holy groups. We're having holy groups anyway. So, but I believe the Holy Ghost should be allowed to move whenever he wants. And understanding this, that it doesn't mean a free for all. Doesn't mean 13 people give a tongue. What does it mean? It means that you and I believe for rain in the time of the latter rain. And it means the Holy Ghost moves. He touches men and women, boys and girls' hearts. Here in a room and outside where you go. Because Acts 1:8 says this, when the Spirit of God has come upon you, he will make you a what? A witness. Thank God for going a witnessing. But really, that's not what the scripture says. He makes you a witness. What are you a witness of? I'm a witness of the resurrection. I'm a witness of the resurrection. Why? Because he lives in me. Because he lives in me. He lives in you. You're a bold witness. What are you supposed to be a witness of? Jesus is alive. Jesus is good. God is good. Amen. And all you got to do is be you with that boldness and share it with somebody. How many of you know you don't have to be silly? You don't have to be crazy. Just be you. Amen. You don't have to put on the these and the thous. You don't have to know 1,000 scriptures. Just, oh, believe God. We're good. Everybody say, I'm a good farmer. What do good farmers do? They know how to sow. They know how to water. They know how to weed. They know how to watch over their harvest. And they know how to reap. Amen.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org. Check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know him so you too can make him known.